The 1950s may be the most misunderstood decade of the American 20th century. The period looms in the nation's popular imagination as an island of stability and calm in the roiling waters of the mid-1900s, which include the Great Depression of the 1930s, the World War in the 1940s, the turmoil that threatened to tear the nation apart in the 1960s. The 1950s provide the contrast that throws those eras into sharp relief. For some, the decade has served as a touchstone, a golden age of traditional values and national consensus that was destroyed by the overblown claims of the 1960s. With little irony and not much historical consciousness, these Americans see the 50s as America's happy days. To others, the 50s are an era of conformity and repression, blessedly overthrown by the Cultural Revolution of the 1960s. These Americans get the irony. Leave It to Beaver was just a TV show, not a true reflection of the times. But they may have even less historical consciousness, too easily discounting the relief many Americans felt during the 1950s in the aftermath of two decades of suffering and sacrifice. However, both of the assessments remove the 1950s from the struggles of the era. Both treat the 50s as a decade out of time. That's from the prologue of the 50s Chronicles with consultants Beth Bailey and David Farber. It is a look at that decade that has long captivated America's imagination. We celebrated it for years with the TV sitcom Happy Days, and many of us continue to find the music, the teenage hijinks, and not a few films of the 1950s to be what makes us Americans in the 21st century. And so how appropriate that the 50s Chronicles opens with a front page spread featuring the ticky-tacky housing of Levittown, New York. For certainly the suburban lifestyle that burst upon the American landscape in the 1950s was the key to so much of what happened locally in the 1950s, and certainly leaves its impact on the geography of cities and towns today. More, the 1950s is the decade that gave us the bikini, the space age, and yes, pink plastic flamingos. Well, there is much to abhor, or at least not want to repeat, from the 1950s. While it was the first decade after the horrors of World War II had ended, the Korean War broke out in the very first year of the decade. Senator Joe McCarthy's cruel, absurdist claims rocked the halls of Washington. Polio became a public health nightmare. In the end of the decade, found the country increasingly racked by disruption in the media, in the streets, in our schools. As the struggles for civil rights gained momentum, as the newly minted roles of men and women were already coming under scrutiny and critique, and as the bodacious raucousness of rock and roll was cresting in popularity, not a particularly auspicious opening to the decade of the 1960s for many. And let's include, too, the fear of all-out atomic warfare that inspired fallout shelters and duck-and-cover drills in schools. A constant theme throughout 50s Chronicle, the topic receives riveting attention in the opening essay of the year 1957, for you see, each year in the 1950s receives its own chapter, its own opening essay, and lots of photographs telling us of what happened that year in that magical decade. And 1957, after all, was heralded in this book by the arms race, a race which launched the still relevant space race between the United States and the then Soviet Union as well. But two, as 50s Chronicle shows us in page after page after page, you get the idea, well over 400 of them. And of course, year after year, there's also much to like about the 1950s, or at least much to remember about the 1950s as we think about our lives today in the 2010s. It was, as we mentioned, the birth of rock and roll music, aimed, we're told, squarely at that newly discovered demographic called teenagers. The opening essay for the year 1956 saw the heyday of Elvis Presley, who was balanced oh so beautifully by the vocal stylings of Sarah Vaughan, James Brown, The creative jazz of Thelonious Monk. The music of Johnny Cash. The smooth jazz pop tunes of Henry Mancini. Two, the 1950s, as these pages remind us, brought us the classical music artistry and technique of Glenn Gould with his Bach's Goldberg Variations. And the birth of folk music does go back to the 1950s with the Kingston Trio in 1958. Artistic expression became decidedly modern and increasingly abstract. Television exploded as Americans went from owning 1 million TV sets in 1949 to more than 20 million by 1953. The three major networks, you know which those are, offered programming for adults with Your Show of Shows, Ed Sullivan's Toast of the Town, I Love Lucy, and any number of radio shows that migrated onto TV, Gunsmoke, The Lone Ranger, among them. Steve Allen launched the still-running The Tonight Show on NBC. And for kids, personality-driven shows hit the new airwaves with Howdy Doody, Beanie and Cecil, and the ever-loving Captain Kangaroo, along with a slew of local TV programs that folks who grew up in any major city in America in the 1950s, the 1960s, into the 1970s can wax nostalgically about for hours, just ask me. Politics offered the contrasts of mainstream Republican generally elected President Dwight Eisenhower, the intellectual democratic stylings of Governor Adlai Stevenson, who ran twice, as you may recall, for president, lost both times to Dwight Eisenhower, and the novelty of a strong vice president, Richard Nixon. Fidel Castro and Mao Zedong both achieved and consolidated power at opposite ends of the world. The traditional family became an important social icon, so much so that the chapter for 1953 opens with an essay titled For the Female Side of the Ideal American Mid-Century Family, titled The American Woman, and quite an essay it is, quotes from Mamie Eisenhower that still ring in our ears today. As the essay tells us, if Americans liked Ike, as the saying went, they loved Mamie. An army wife of 36 years at the time of her husband's election, and woman who once estimated that she had moved 27 times during her marriage, Mamie was beloved for her charm, her femininity, and her wifely devotion. The woman, praised by Woman's Home Companion as, quote, no blue stocking feminist, end quote, and by Ladies' Home Journal for not trying, quote, to become an intellectual, end quote, did not hesitate to share her views on marriage and women's roles. As Mamie told Today's Woman magazine, quote, let's face it, our lives revolve around our men, and that is the way it should be. What real satisfaction is there without them? Being a wife is the best career that life has to offer a woman, but it takes wit and straight thinking. Meanwhile, fast food made its widespread debut across the nation, gracing our homes with minute rice, McDonald's hamburgers and shakes, and Colonel Sanders' still famous fried chicken. Hollywood stars the like of Audrey Hepburn, Katharine Hepburn, Humphrey Bogart, films like Sunset Boulevard, Rashomon, and Lassie graced our movie screens and portrayed the world as either an idyllic place for love or a horrific battle where good and evil have both gone far astray, a tumult that continues to enchant us in movie theaters to this day. Comics continue to evolve with caustic cartoon strip Pogo and the satirical Mad Magazine, both coming into their own in the 1950s. And in literature, the landscape skewed from the beats of Lawrence Ferlinghetti and Allen Ginsberg to the science fiction of Ray Bradbury. Sports saw the popularity of baseball. Pele began his surge across soccer fields, and Arnold Palmer hit the golf links. And yes, the pop culture that was the hula hoop surged across young, middle-aged, and even elderly America. And as noted earlier, the civil rights movement began to receive national attention, receiving special attention in this book as the lead essay, Civil Rights, for the year 1955. Well, like it, hate it, so much of the 1950s decade is on display here in both color and, of course, that classic black and white, I think you'll be hard-pressed to simply pass on this incredible look at an amazing decade. Finally, the roots of 1960s culture can also be found in the 1950s. Beat culture is an obvious forerunner to the cultural descent that characterized the 1960s, but we can find roots in mainstream culture as well. The young adults of the 1960s had a different upbringing than any previous generation. In the years following World War II, high school became mandatory for all American youth to the age of 16. That meant that these young people were the product of a much longer lasting and intensive peer culture than any previous generation. From childhood, they were targeted by marketers of toys, soft drinks, clothes, and music. They were studied, monitored, and discussed, and American leaders and educators worried about how to help them become the sorts of citizens who could face the challenges of democracy in a difficult Cold War world. Standing at the end of the 1960s, looking back a decade, one would be hard-pressed to see the continuities between the 60s and the 50s. At the end of the 1960s, the U.S. was mired in an unwinnable and increasingly unpopular war. Violence erupted in the streets of Chicago when protesters challenged the legitimacy of state power and the Democratic National Convention's democratic process. Ghettos had burned during the long, hot summers. Black power was proclaimed, and white youth seemed to have embraced sex, drugs, and rock and roll. The nation was divided along the fault lines of race, age, religion, politics, and culture. Little of the landscape was recognizable. And Americans either gloried in the distance from what seemed in retrospect the stability and order of the 1950s, or mourned its passing. But the transformation of American society that took place in the 1950s were as fundamental in their own way as those that roiled the waters of the 1960s, and they prepared the way for a half century of complex social change to come. It's a decade well worth studying, and if you're going to look at it and kind of get some idea of what might have happened then, this is a great place to start. The 50s Chronicle, over 400 pages, black and white, color, essays, lots and lots of information shared with the reader, and lots of memories for those of us older remember at least some of that decade. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library.